Qual que é o seu estado, né, toda a vida, na cidade?
Allow Pastor Lamont and Kimbo to make
opening the mask and then allow the municipal manager to introduce the system official and then the presentation. Are you ready? Is the presentation ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Come back to you, sir. There's something to speak on here in Parliament today. So that we make sure that we can hear it.
Yes, sir. Good morning, honourable members. I know that there are people that are in the head of our presentation, so I'll just go through it. Obviously, we have any papers. This obviously takes us through to the third quarter. We are going to verify the information now that we have. If the AG is currently looking to it, so why don't you look at the actual third quarter head of the government? So for the budget of that we funded by Parliament of 3.2 billion, the target was set as follows, which is 5,540 sites and 20,068 units. One understand based on the budget cut, this is where now we are really having this target, which are pretty low for us going forward. So for now, we are talking those budget cuts. So in terms of the non-financial performance per program, I'll just take the members right to the from the target, if you check on the left, those are the end targets of size, units, and others. So right at the end of the slide, you see the size for the period, what was 3740, and units were 14,894. And when you look at the actual delivery by December 31st, that's where we have to see that in terms of sites, we're sitting at 3,081, and then in terms of units, 15,732. So, we did another performance of about 2,069 sites there. But obviously, if you look at the issues, even on the financial expenditure, we are on track to really what we have said for. And the work in progress. Obviously, now when you look at January, what is where we are at, just for the month of January, this is where now you see sites moving straight, just for this month, to the three, four digits of the target of around 480, and we have 1,115. So obviously, December is a very short period, and now all the work that has been done during the time needed to go through your inspection, verifications and all of those issues. So we have to do all of those issues and finish them up. And for that 2016 that we have inherited that time, we have to cover this site in that regard. So this issue as well, Madam Chair, is that one was hoping that we'd be getting some additional funding through that area, but we could see there was no money coming through. So with now we have to go back to this contractor to say, hey, we are aware that there will be no money coming through, can you just kind of slow down and see. So you go to February, March, try and just don't overrun the car. So there's no extra money that has come through in terms of cars. So we have hoping that we will invest some additional money, because when we're closing up in December, we're already at that hope of saying, guys, when you come back, have everything being bolted and ready to run. So but we told our guys to say, this car is going to overheat and just go down based on those performances now. So it worked that way very slow here as we are now closing our operation. So obviously this HSD performance 31st of December is even indicating now the additional funding that we received for disaster. This is not more on the disaster side of funding the million that we received based on the October 5th service disaster. So, Madam Chair, here we are pleased now, obviously, when we can understand the money comes in January, February. But the SMB has contractors on the ground, because the main carriers that were hit with the storm was the SMB and the carriers of South Coast, those are the ones that were declared as national disaster. So, the chunk of the money that is there is already going to the metro to take care of the contractors. They've already started, the SMB has already started doing lots of refurbishment in various projects. said, Deborah Potter is given 39% because of rules in various hotels and other units. So if at this stage we are busy with contracting with the city manager so that we can get to give and get to pay those contractors to the government assets. But the other rest of the money that we'll have to do a rollover because the next we don't want to find ourselves flouting any regulations that go to irregular expenditure that we have. So all in all, based on the business plan instruments, from where we are, we'll be able to spend our money because currently this was by the December time of budget adjustment. From where we stand now, from outside definitely, we are left with about 200 million to spend, and that fund is already committed, so we are just busy with payment more than anything. So it's not as if those people see that there was no contribution. There'll be no over expenditure, there'll be no under expenditure. So this will be put to the PWC, because we didn't get the grant from the PWC grant for the census. So one wants to assure the committee that we will be able to achieve this target based on the working process that we have on the ground and also the commitment that we have done. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, can we then go straight to a second?
Thank you, Chairperson. Morning, honorable members of the portfolio committee. As the Chairperson has introduced me, I'm Kampena Mondlane Thembi. I'm the Chairperson of the Union Service and the Infrastructure and the Civil. Chair, let me start by expressing our sincere gratitude to the Thembi municipality for the support that we have been getting from the portfolio community, especially through the chair of the portfolio community, because every time we are faced with the challenges of low spending, she will raise an alarm and seek for urgent intervention. This time we were at our worst performance, because by the second quarter we were sitting at 14%, and through the intervention by the chairperson of the portfolio committee as well as the DG, I think we were able to sit down together as the executive and the administration, because before the administration would plan on the side and the executive would plan on the other side. So the recent interventions really killed the silos between us as the people responsible for human settlement in Echewin. We are happy that the ADG has been seconded to Echewin just to assist our officials in learning better in making sure that the spending of Echewin is improved. And I'm sure that as our officials present today, they will present a budget that is clear, that we are confident that by the end of the financial year we would have spent 100%, because the systems that have been introduced, including the readiness metrics, in terms of all the projects that have been at a USDG allocation, we are very confident that this time around we will do better, and we as the executive are placed in a better position to track and monitor the spending. I must say that right now the team is more wiser than what it was when we were first summoned by the chairperson of the portfolio committee, and the attitude to planning around USDG has changed, and we feel that this is our collective responsibility as the executive and the administration, and therefore moving forward we are confident that the spending of the USDG will improve quite significantly. Chair, I will then hand over to the city manager to introduce the team that is with us here before they go to the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Councillor Monti. I'm sure the members of the portfolio committee are actually warming up to the fact that when we call you here and say certain things, if you came here to us, you are able to deal with certain things that you say. So we'll hear from the Gordon, please, before you spin your own things and speak of ourselves if you are actually listening. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to the Portfolio Committee members and my colleagues. It's nice to be in Cape Town, so it's the right weather. But we're not here just for a visit. We're here to really address the issues that are facing us. And Chair, maybe let me just start introduce my team. I've got the DCM Garim Parati, who's the Human Settlement and Engineering and Transport DCM.
DCM meaning
Deputy DC Manager. Let me just raise your hand. And I've got DCM Philemon Nashogo, Trading Services. The Trading Services is water sanitation, electricity and solid waste. And then I've got Oliswa Shobwane, who's our chartered accountant, but she's in charge of the head expenditure with my own look at that. And then I've got Mr. Bliss Moody, who's acting head of human settlement. Then I've got Mrs. Kabi Kuzwayo, who's also the corporate executive in settlement engineering and transport. See, I've got all the ladies, they are very clever. And I've got Lise Mahadebe, who's in my office as a senior manager. She's a lawyer, by the way. So, and then it's myself who just played there. Chair, thank you very much for entertaining us. And yes, we're developing a pattern now of just coming every time to this committee just to get your advice. But I think what we've done, we've planned that the two ladies Ukoli, together with Uberu, will take us through the presentation. Interchangeable and explain our performance and the plans going ahead. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Manager.
Chair,
that also encompasses that the implication is understand by the actually we will come to this portfolio committee always in own spot. Flow into my stock because we definitely can we get the presentation? Remember, our concern is your understanding on the message. But as you present, tell us the reason and your plan and your plan. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, to the DG and National Police, Provincial colleagues, and the City Manager, the Chair of my committee, and colleagues from the City Manager. I'm going to introduce my name, Caroline Parati, and I'm part of the City Manager team. I'm going to take you to, firstly, if you may apologize that we did not make print copies. Maybe my then extended apologies that should you see anything slightly different than the print copies. We have been working on this and refining it to ensure that our articulation is clear as we move forward, and we did not want to leave anything that we deemed important as part of the report. we want to say that emerging from how we understand USDG and its utilization to bridge the special gaps within cities, we've understood our geographical location of our city, we've understood that our city is segregated, and the grants that we receive from national government predominantly USDG would plug it in to actually meet those special segregations. We wanted to portray that the city understands its space and its special deficiencies and the desperation therefore to utilize effectively these grants to transform the city itself. With that understanding, the city has developed a built environment plan. We continuously review our PEP, commonly known, which is a process that happens through National Treasury, and it's part of the process that actually justifies the receiving of grants and the utilization of grants in the correct spaces. We've got separated areas that we've demarcated where we want to utilize the grant and maximize on the performance of the city, from an economic growth, from social facilities provision, from a broad urban management provision. The total grant that you're receiving as a city is in the region of 3.4 billion, consolidated, it's a massive grant across the spectrum, and we monitor therefore the grant utilization in conjunction with the performance in terms of our partial transformation. I think we wanted to touch base that when we started the grant and we understand the framework of the USDG, it comes from a premise of understanding that the rationale and the reason why cities are favored is for us to make sure that we deal with the special deficiencies. The city comes from a very huge backdrop. I think one of the cities, one of the provinces, but the influencer of the province's backlog is the SME and municipality. With informal resettlement, there are cities on 236 families reside in informal resettlement. Again, Councillor Antenna made reference of the visit and the intervention of the Honourable Chair and the Honourable Minister and some of the political principles to look at the situation based on the PC to refer to as transit facilities. We've got currently approximately 10,000 families in transit camps. We've got 49,000 families that living in daycare shacks. It is formal areas in the township, particularly those shacks behind the formal town. The city is a combination of a rural context and the urban context. Therefore, we've got 96,000 families that reside in traditional dwellings that we deem not suitable for habitation. In total, the backlog that we are responding to is 378,000 households that are in housing that is not suitable. This constitutes approximately 37% of the total population of the municipality, which is 3.8 million. So we're sitting with a big problem. And how we've then taken our USDG grant and targeted it in the areas where we know if we prioritize USDG in this space, we'll be able to identify it is accessible to businesses, we'll be able to improve the people's lives with speed. So the dot that is on the screen is the project that is favored by USDG and also favored by special transformation. I think what we're trying to portray for the next MTRF or the current MTRF is that we've targeted cases where we are realizing not only the human settlement but the social infrastructure that is much needed, economic growth and other critical needs that people need, require so that they live a life that is sustainable and livable. The purpose of the grant then flows from the understanding of our structural development framework and our built environment framework that are presented. This is a grant that supplements our capital revenue. As a city, we do collect and recover revenue from the services that we sell, predominantly through my colleague, Mr. Mashobo, who is heading the paying services. We understand that the expected output of the grant is to increase and link the infrastructure capacity that we already have as an existing as a city, but also to expand in the areas where parks is not existing and they're suitable for development. To improve basic services needs to poor households, it is a grant that we would like to and articulate that it needs to be focused on poor households. The acquisition of land is a strategic intention of this grant, in which as a city we utilize it for acquisition of land. We realize mega projects or catalytic projects. I think we went through a process with National Human Settlement where we articulated areas that will become catalysts to transform the space of cities. And also we utilize this grant to prioritize the upgrading of informal settlement programs and also to acquire social economic amenities that are associated with human settlement and grossly improve energy efficiency so that we can maximize on the state. We're currently building the public transport system, and what we're doing in conjunction with that, we are identifying within the corridor of the public transport, so the grant becomes if I can hand over to Tony at this juncture, and then I will conclude.
Good morning,
Mr.
President. I'm just going to take you through the figures that we show in this case, key sentences, and how we apply the grant. This is a history of the spending the past 58 of the USDG. For this particular financial year, at the end of the third quarter, we are projecting that we would have spent in excess of 41 billion, because as we look at the figures for the period in January, we already spent to the tune of 41 billion. So we're comfortable that we've been more than 41 billion at the end of the quarter, and then we're so comfortable that we're going to be able to become the 70 billion. According to the original plan, this is how we have envisaged spending the grant. By looking at the financial year, we're doing 100% in the day for 75%. However, because of the challenges and other business conditions, from the boundary communication, we haven't been able to do that, but we're comfortable that with the heat and the experience, we're going to be able to continue to spend the package.
So, Chair, just maybe to extend the previous slide, which is showing the other one, which is showing 41% projection. I think you said in February, by February we are sitting at 41 already. Yeah. So there is that improvement. Because this happens because of that adjustment budget, which has shown us the actual figures.
Of the 1.9 billion grant allocation, this was the original allocation in terms of how much of it was going to use for informal settlement, for informal settlement development, which was translated to 52 pieces, which is this house show. During the adjustment budget process, we had a relook at our plan in regard to the different challenges that have happened, and also looking at our dual funded project and trying to balance the funding versus the limit, the performance of all our projects in terms of what is within the footprint of the framework. Then we then have to reallocate some of the grants in order to optimize the grant utilization. So that for us has then achieved an improvement in terms of the spending. And at the end of the January today figure, it's been improved from then, and at the end of the quarter we come to the quite a high magnitude of the goal that we've been saying. We do have an operating portion which represents the grant. Already we've spent 19% of that. Also there is going to be a great improvement at the end of the third quarter. We're going to see that ongoing. This slide explains the previous one quite well. So we have initially allocated 52% to formal community-related projects. After the adjustment budget process, bringing a statement, the business plan, we've been comfortable that 69% of the USDG is allocated to informal settlement. And we've increased allocation to human settlement and infrastructure. We've also increased roads. The number of roads that we are transforming from gravel into formal roads. We're also looking at checking our project for operation costs.
Then in terms of the expenditure report that our head expenditure has explained, it then translates into the non-financial, and CFO always says to us what is viable. So in terms of the MCSF, which is the framework of the performance framework of the minister, the city is expected to deliver 56,905 over the current MCSF. And as the SAB, we've influenced the deliverables to water, sanitation and electricity, to our creation, formal upgrading was in form of fishermen, and we to date we need 19,000 for water 200, 19,200, 19,246. This is associated with the building of houses and delivering level 3 services within those houses. And the predominant area of achievement which influences the MPSF is our shared services, which we regard as increments of services. We deliver in the informal settlement basic provision of water and sanitation through communal abduction facilities. And to date, we have 45,000 access to water within the informal settlement, and we're intending to achieve 18,000 to conclude the current delivery period of the minister. And the sanitation, we've delivered to date 50,000, which then put us in a green position in terms of responding to the MTS. Within this plan, we're also checking very closely the deliverable of the Title D program. We're also checking very closely the deliverable of the Title D and specifying it for the post-1994 and the pre-1994 stock decisions. So, and also the land that we are acquiring, we report it accordingly in line with the strategic deliverables of the MTS. If we go back and look at aligning what Condition has presented in terms of the spend against the non-financial achievements. In terms of the land that we have targeted for this current financial year, in line with the business plan that we presented to National, we have targeted 150 hectares of land, as I said earlier, in terms of the framework of the UCP. We achieved in quarter 2, 152 hectares of land. We targeted, and this land includes the green field and the brown field, and hence we see an opportunity to expand in the acquisition of land and maximize on the program of eradication of climate change and informal settlements. Informal settlements that are targeted for four upgrades, it is 14 and we've achieved that 14. And incremental services, these are services. Informal settlement plan is planned where we use the heritage participation process to plan informal settlements for the upgrading. So these are 14 informal settlement formations. And in terms of incremental services, it's 2,380 households that were targeted for the stormwater control access and capacities, and we have realized 288 households. In terms of the soft structure themselves, I think this is in line with what the government has presented, that we have 3,940, and on Q2 we have achieved 1,280, which is way below what we had anticipated before. And number of households in informal settlements, that it includes the number that I think relocated as well, relocated to greenfield projects. Number of sites, now this is level 3, full-blown engineering services that we give to complement the HSDGs. We've reviewed our MPSF targets and we've reduced it during the new 10 adjustment to 1,990, understanding the difficulties that we will talk about in the future slide. We've achieved 444, but I must say that with the intervention that has happened and some of the issues that are straight targeting our SPM processes, we're able to pull out some of the blockages that we've had before. Number of faculties is 1,500 that we have targeted. I must apologize for the error. I was just confirming the figures with the excellent 10,000 that we've actually issued 474 faculties. Again, this is a very slow achievement, understanding the backlog that the city is facing of faculties that are concluded. Number of new sanitation appointments, we have targeted 200, and we in Q1 we have 45, Q2 accumulatively we have 105. And if again I must apologize, Mr. Mashogo, just from the figure, in Q2 cumulatively we deliver 219. That we couldn't change because this is a picture. The sewer connections, likewise, we have moved very well towards our cases. And if you may take this opportunity to you, Honorable Chair and members, to just briefly reiterate that we understand that we have not performed to the best of what we are very clear and know our ability as a city, looking at the lead time. And we have appreciated some of the existing issues within the municipality administratively, but also we want to express again to this forum that we still have some of the issues that are way outside our control. We are very much impacted by the delays relating to the business forum challenges,
although I'm not saying that our executive council has looked at NEPA and the sustained as well to try and assist our move forward. I feel an objection. There is a statistic for a study that we recently looked at that actually shows that in the country overall, tender appeals have increased. People are more frustrated if they don't get awarded tender than what is missing. So that comes in under the legal objectives and appeals that have increased and causes delays to the SDN process for finality of all. Contract replacement for water pipe, which is approximately 100 million. We are waiting some of the letters of award, and there is a letter that we entered in and pushing it forward. The water use license as a control or an area of compliance and the construction tenant. While we appreciate those are legislative requirements, but they have added on the delay of projects and being finalized or commencing on the ground. Generally, we are within an urban space that is complex, so we are subjected to violent social protests and social political issues that we continue to take our role. As delays we are experiencing through the CCG, which is the participation goals in response to the radical economic transformation. I think as this policy was approved by the city and to try and implement it within the prescript of the document and the specification, it has caused a delay because we are still unpacking and informing how our specification needs to be responding to this. And the program itself has experienced construction delays and work stoppages resulting in the approach performance being affected. It's some of the reasons, not all. We're not saying that all methods that we have not performed to our ability is because of the external factors. Looking at the challenges that we've just discussed, we've looked at how we then intervene sharply and accelerate the delivery plan. As I said, that by virtue of the component of the application block program, we show that if we increase the capacity, we can done as part of our assessment budget process. We'll be able to tap in on the DCP and still deliver in the machine and targeted area. The land, as I said earlier, is the performance of the land previously, we increased the land acquisition to over 400 hectares to achieve this financial year. The approval of additional incremental phases is that we increase the program, and we've added in a program that is also performing very well, I think Melissa touched on it, which is called the Low Volume Gravel Road Program. It's the conversion of gravel roads in predominantly township areas, like the townships of Newtown, which are within the urban space, but they never had a surface road. We're converting those roads to proper surface roads. It's part of our asset management strategy. And the credible state of the minute, I think one thing that has prevailed in the discussions where the CPG never changing has been part of is that our readiness to treat is challenged. And we've taken that approach in working with schools and schools as well to unpack and understand that if we take the projects are going to deliver, indeed, we can stand by those projects to deliver. We also used to have what we deemed as the top 150. We've assessed our about 10 million projects now. There are 200, about 200 of them. The city manager has resuscitated those engagements where we meet every week, every bi-week, to look at programs that are about 10 million within the city. And if we deal with the majority of our problems, we like to keep it and we close the predominant methods that give us the most pain. So the tracking and monitoring engagement chaired by the superintendent himself, again, has been resuscitated. Again, close monitoring of construction programs, this results to project management. I think part of what the minister said is that the project management becomes a problem in cases of government. So again, we are in the tone in that regard. And we are appreciating the capacity intervention that we have been promised by the Office of Efficiency. In terms of supplier performance, we do have a supplier performance management, but the important thing is the consequence management around issues of non-performance. And again, following legal procedures for service delivery, I think there's been a very strong forward word from the EFCO and also the system manager that we are not going to solely penalize the issues of service delivery problems of our community. And we've taken that stand as a city, but we still require much more intervention to actually deal with the chronic problem of the business forum. Focus areas for adjustment, access area. Predominantly, incremental services, we just wanted to display how we understand the incremental services through provision of routine facilities and land will actually enhance the delivery or the performance this financial year. As we have projected that, we are still going to spend 100%. The provision of water and sanitation solution program, we are in the phase 3 of it currently, where we use the converted shipping containers
to deliver basic sanitation and basic water within the areas that are not accessible at that juncture through individual sanitation. So we're wrapping up this program. It comes in a way of a container that delivers separate meals and cleaner toilets and showers, washing facilities. And it's also an empowerment of communities because we employ caretakers for cleaning and maintenance within the community. And again, I must say that we have taken cognizance to the fact that the supervision and the monitoring of the caretakers, because when we went to the team, I think some of the reflections were that yes, they were pushing facilities, but then they were not doing well in the team. And I know for some of my colleagues in Mashaba that this can be upon himself to make sure that our supervision on the ground is effective, so that he could clean toilets all the time. We have completed within this program 391 sites as part of the phase 3, and we've got 72 approaching facilities that are under construction and completed by the end of this financial year. And we are also building parks because the ablution still requires parks to pull from our parks, and we utilize those parks in the future when we put sanitation for individual houses. We've just taken an extract of the readiness measures that we've developed as the city. Again, this image from the intervention that we've had, that the ablution facilities, we've understood it to be a project that was that came up from 4 million funded. We've seen this practically by 300 million in the budget, and we are going to spend 335 million in total. We've projected the spend a month, and we've confirmed that all SDM processes are complete. And currently all the business providers are on the ground, and we're monitoring very closely the acceleration of this process. That's a breakdown of where the phasing of this is. And also we've unpacked the incremental things we are creating as a informal settlement. Again, this is a program that has got potential to cover all informal settlements without anyone being a backbencher and waiting for formalization. We do it through the certification process, and it's caught driven by the city and the municipality, because we cannot claim
there's a lot of updates.
People that come late to Mr. Duncan,
settlement formations that have been prioritized and we currently implementing. This will translate into 3,000 number of families that will access. The services that we're accessing here is the packages, is the storm water, and is the water in case that we build packages within the informal settlement to give access to emergency vessels, to give access to all people, disabled people, generally to make sure that the informal settlement, while the houses are not constructed, but it is livable and it's got access to basic services. We do this program very closely with communities. You cannot get into a home assessment in the heart of it, just doing things alone in government. So we've got a memorandum of agreement with NGOs like Flood Builders International, etc., and we work in collaboration with them to achieve this kind of program. I think Chair is just a breakdown of how we understand that currently we've got 12 sites in home assessment formation that are being implemented. We do have a pipeline of them that are being planned, which is 45, and within the MPRF we've identified 67, so that we continuously construction in this program, and we make sure that it accelerates beyond the MPRF delivery of the services in the informal settlement. If I may stop right there, I appreciate the opportunity to present.
Thank you very much to the just before I deliberately give a speech to the district so that he comes last, so that he doesn't speak first and actually try to listen. We wanted you to give your presentation without the presentation. So I'm going to allow him, but before he comes in, just confirm to us, what is your standing with the right now and have to do it.
Although Taiwan is a big figure right now, but in the end of the emerging countries, we think it spends about 800 million of the refugees. So they translate into about 41 countries.
You spend 800 million of the 1.9 billion. Egypt can come in to conclude the case at the end of the presentation.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot to the members of the committee. We compared with the provincial and the city performance outlook. Here we got a little bit worried in the beginning of the second quarter, because the figures in Etekwini were not very good. Now, when Etekwini and the province are not looking good, we all get worried. But the province has been performing consistently for the last 5 years. The figures speak for themselves. You can look at those figures. They have been very consistent. The same applies to Etekwini. Etekwini has never failed to spend 100% of its allocation. When we pick up that at the end of the second quarter they are sitting at 15%, we got worried. We got very worried. We spent a lot of time with the city manager, with the mayor, with the DDP city managers. We spent a lot of time in Etekwini trying to understand the problem and also to see where we can help. DDG Cheney has been spending almost a week, every week he's been in KZN, and I think the presentation by that is a full reflection of what we've been working on together with the Metro. Let's share the part that we need to take up with the national treasury and with the provincial treasury is the whole arrangement around the village, the shifting of funds from poor performing programs to high performing programs, or poor performing departments to high performing departments, because there are rules of engagement. And we only have in the year, I think, 2 minutes to deal with some of these things. I'm not sure if we can find a way to make it easy for the officials, and this is something that we have to discuss with the officials. I think we need to find a better way of making decisions tenuously. In my previous life, chair as an AJD, we used to talk about risk mitigation projects. And I saw somewhere they talk about replacement projects. And the intention is to make sure that you make a decision timely and you follow up on that decision. So if the rules of accounting are making it a little bit difficult for us to make these decisions timely, let's evaluate those rules and see if we can find a way to allow managers to manage. When we introduced the Public Finance Management Act in 1999, the first paragraph in that piece of legislation was a very nice paragraph, and it says, this piece of legislation is intended to make managers to manage. Now, along the way, I think we passed quite a number of practice laws, treasury regulations, which are not necessarily making managers to manage. We end up all behaving as auditors. There's absolutely nothing wrong in making sure that a fund first is accounted for. I think that's our job. But we end up beefing up departments to make sure that there's enforcement. And sometimes we do that at the expense of service delivery. I'm of the view that we have to look at those rules around governance, how we make governance between programs, how we make governance between departments. I know even at national level there are certain rules of engagement. For instance, if you have to make governance within a program, there are no limitations. But if you're making governance between programs, then the 8%, is it still 8%? There's 8% cap. And those are things that sometimes tend to hamstring us in the quest for the speedy decision making, because in the built environment, time is everything. If you don't make a decision now, it catches up with you a month later. And if some of the rules of engagement are not helping us to make decisions, then let's revisit them. I guess that's something that we'll have to look at in the next administration chair, which will start after the election. So without wasting much of your time, Chair, you can see the figures of both Etiquin and KZN province that they have been carrying in the center, if I may put it bluntly. The two, they have been giving us numbers since 2014. You can see those numbers, we can share them with you, that they have been delivering more than any other province and more than any other metric in terms of the numbers. And that is why we managed to get the government data awards 3 years in a row. But we got worried when we saw that they are at 50%, and we had to move. And we moved. Time has been in the country. I remember I had a bilateral meeting on the 8th of January with Derek, because I was worried about the numbers. And I also met the embassy the same day in KZN. So, Chair, I think the graph is going up, and we just need to keep everything in our hands. Thank you very much.
One way, then, actually, you were worried. Does that mean that you're worried?
There's a significant improvement there from 15% to 41%. I think that's a big jump. There's a sigh of relief, Chair, I must say. And I think we just need to make sure that we won't keep our hands on the deck. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Dimitri. So if that's the presentation from Etiquin and KwaZulu-Natal province, I'm not going to limit you. If you want to ask questions on the provincial presentation, you can do that or comment. But of course, the main factor of the country national. But I'm now inviting them for comments, questions, clarifications. Even if you don't have applause, if you want to applaud, you are allowed one of the Malays to applaud
you.
Chair, thank you very much, and thanks for the presentation from the department and the creator. My question is as follows. I didn't hear clearly about the issue of the Title D, about the bigger problem in the country. I thought I was a full explanation of how we need to solve this Title D. To my problem in the economy, are we able to pay your contractors within 30 days if we have to this one has some challenges, can you just give us a sort of sense of what are the challenges of the female sector? Chair, how many informal settlements do you have in the head? I understand that we have 37 settlements that you talked about. How many informal settlements? And any challenge in terms of the people who are not trained then without the proper challenge? Is it that? The other thing, the also challenge of the 100 people who are don't want it to move to what they're to go as for traffic. Is it that challenge? What are the causes of the challenge of the 100 and Mike and Marches and Epcot? But I'm happy to see that they've moved from where we are so worried about the things so far. But yes, try to pick up your thoughts and move forward. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. The presentation from the province is more than welcome. It's actually consistent with what the portfolio and everybody has been accustomed to. And the DG says is little comfortable from the 15 to the 61. And that comfort is also consistent with all the years from the 2015 onwards when the second quarter maybe 14, 18, but you end up with 100%. But that does not take away the warrant that we think the remaining period will be in a position to achieve. That's already the first time we might end up at 1980 this time, but if we can talk to that. How deep is this a question of the business forums, which have got a tendency to help us progress in almost all the forums. In your sector, how do you need, and I know we are talking about the, taking the legal route, but in two quarters back, we are also talking about the legal problem of the impact of currency. The suppliers' performance, how life in that. An example of another problem is that some of our suppliers would go and do sessions, or the contractors would do sessions, and in bulk of those sessions, if they are exposed to one supplier, for example, and the supplier goes by the entire process or project is affected. How I and what I'm doing in such circumstances. So now, check out those points.
Thank you. Thanks, Chair. I'm going to start with the provincial presentation because I mean, I wasn't going to go into it, but there's just some two outstanding things for me. The one is with regards to the lack of delivery when it comes to meeting targets on military veterans. And that has been consistent even with previous years. So I'm just curious to establish whether this program has just been neglected at all, or what are the cultural factors that contribute to this consistent non-performance with regards to allocation of housing to military veterans, because at this rate you are unlikely to come even close to the MSTF target. And also an explanation on any interventions to accelerate aligning those MTSF targets with the outcomes, because again, like apart from the upgrading of, apart from the military veteran section, there's also a disjunction between the targets and the outcomes on the upgrading of informal settlement. And then just moving to the metro, I mean, it's commendable what has happened here, because what it shows here is that you see, now you're distracted. So yeah, the point I wanted to make was that I think it's reassuring now, because it shows that they are on the way to where they usually are. But I think what is missing there, Chair, is two components. One is, you know, in preparing for these meetings, Chair, when key information comes while the presentation is taking place, it's a very interesting development, because you engage what you have, and then what gets presented during the presentation, while it may be numbers or it may be additional information, it represents a lot of shifts from the statistics that are then provided at the time the statements were made. And I don't think it's a minor thing, because for me the credibility of anything that gets presented lies in the detail that is on the document. So the two missing things for me is, one, which was just mentioned in passing, about where the spending levels are now. But I think it will add more credibility to that statement if they can showcase to us how they plan to use the remaining time to get to the level that they always get to. Because while it, you know, I can take that we will improve and we will get to 100%, I think given the opportunity, the effort that has been taken to get the metro here, they must be able to showcase how they are planning to get to that performance. The second issue is, I just want to get more details in terms of what is your approach in making sure that you get to the level of land acquisition that you have set your target for. Because you've allocated resources for land acquisition there, and for me it doesn't speak to your ambitions. I mean, your outcomes in that regard doesn't speak to the ambitions that you have in terms of your planned procurement of land on an annual target, and to use that towards speaking to what you boldly indicated in the beginning, which Honorable Kanyan would love very much, about radical economic transformation and also integrated spatial planning. And lastly, Chair, is on the issue of the title. I mean, the DG last time provided a very insightful reason about what are some of the challenges that the metro face. I don't believe that they are standard across, because there can be factors that are unique to a particular space. But my issue is related to the fact that, you know, there's been interventions in this regard taken at national level in terms of providing more capacity and even assistance to metro. But the movement is still at a total stage. So I just want to get, like, what is Devin doing in addition to the capacity that you got voluntarily or involuntarily from the Department of Human Settlement, to make sure that there is massive shift in terms of the rollout or finalizing this problem of Title deed restoration. Because again, Chair, the administration has identified that as one of the key deliverables for the MTSF period. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'll start with the provincial presentation.
It's a really short, really nice, good attendant work. But I'm going to ask two questions. When the department in the province. So then my question here would be to the department in the province. And they are, when I see them do a work in progress, I think it's one way their problem is there. They concentrate on effort. What about work? I just need a title now. And then secondly, on effort development, they are so called big characters. But I don't see any progress with them. As to what I've chosen to assist those people who are fighting the topic. Yes. Because I see some challenges in some of the aspects that they are actually raising in the project or in the program. I just wanted to check whether they didn't use the services of ADA. If ADA was the one, then they won't be able to use the services. Because in ADA, I think there are people who are qualified in any aspect that they might raise. The last question that I have checked, it would be on the, just as we're catching up on the presentation, the new slides that we in the presentation, whereas we don't have that as we're supposed to be before we come in. But I just wanted to check in terms of those slides. Are not meant for compliance. I just wanted to check that.
What is the question? The question on the slide, what is it?
They are not meant for compliance. So that they give us a picture. This is something that they are doing. I just wanted to check on that. I think, Chair, I'll stop there.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sabine. Honorable Patrick.
Good afternoon. To work on the number of the projects that were from the staff, also the number of people in Sanda, and the community community. Here is the silent project that was in the
area.
What is that, Chair? I think for me, three issues that I want to check, specifically on the reports from the technique. I think that as much as we should appreciate the move from 15 to 41, for me, I think, that still leaves a lot to be desired in terms of delivering services to the people. So, OTG can appreciate that, but from where I'm sitting, I think for me, it's poor performance. There's no other way to put it. The fact that there's an improvement, it remains an improvement and nothing else or nothing more. Chair, one, I would have thought that there would be a slide that talks to challenges before we get to slides that make reference to key interventions and acceleration plan. So that we are in a position to contrast the two, to see whether the interventions are responsive to what the challenges are. I did not find it here, probably at least from the document that I have. However, the presenter did make reference to some of the challenges. and one of those talks to a high volume of 10 RPM. And for me, what is worrisome is that it's either people don't have trust in the process, hence they appeal the outcome. And if so, is the city happy with their procurement policies or processes? Are they followed to the latter? What is the cause of the high volume of NRP? Secondly, Chair, there was reference made to political violence and protest. And I think that even there, at times, it's when people don't have confidence in the process is followed in terms of whether it's community engagement or when projects are introduced and so on. Now, I didn't see on the interventions anything that makes reference in trying to curb issues of protest and political violence that erupt in terms of projects that they are implemented. So that's why I'm saying, Chairperson, had there been a slide on challenges, would have been able to then measure that against the key interventions to see whether the interventions really address the issues that raised in terms of the challenges that would have been listed. Thank you, Chairperson.
Another department.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me thank all the two presentations from the province and the metro. I'll start by acknowledging this significant improvement that you have made. And my question will be based on that. What is that we have not done in the second quarter that report 15%? Now, within a short space of time, we just went to 41%. Did you manage to acknowledge those challenges so that you deal with them and then you don't go and redress again? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable President and Honorable Member. Just maybe one question from my side. There was a time that you were in the news about the non-functioning of crematoria in the city. And that's why we have a sense if you with that and how are you doing about when I know it became such a that all three crematoriums were not there. And I'm doing this because I know that it's a thing we left to do. Now, again, recently, you were in the hood about the illegal occupation of the and the fact that you do the movement. And I thought you have a sense that process that you were dealing with, how have you been dealing with the people that you occupied in terms of making sure that they are not that. So I know that was really hard. I think it speaks to the issue of how then you are dealing with the issue of clinical and how are you managing that. I think the Honourable Members have covered a lot of questions around a lot of questions. I am also interested on your informal perspective in the fact that when you are a person from outside, you actually have a sense that the street is more informal settlement than formal. And maybe talk to us and explain to us what you mean and how are you taking that sense.
I've heard what people were saying in the presentation, but I think it's critical that we have a picture of a bigger plan on how we do it in the future. We also understand why, because look, especially from the outside, it seems to be a lucrative business. So people would want to migrate to a city, and they would get there, and then obviously that then has an effect on the people. But just talk to us more about that. I think one of the kind of ways we can ask you, talk to us more about it. Because it then talks to some things in some of the projects that we have. And therefore, our interest then there is that as this appeal gets hard, how then does they affect your plan and how do they affect you in directing what they need to do? And I think it's important to ask them and it's sort of an understanding of how that affects your way as a plan. And of course, you're getting a lot. I think the CM spoke about 2.4 billion in total of grants that we have. And maybe you must talk to us and say, you think maybe this grant has a burden to yourself, that's why you're not spending it. Because you've got capacity to actually have your own money, you don't need this grant. 2.4 billion is a lot. I know you're getting grants from human services, grants and transport, and maybe I'm a rich person. So that's why we don't really want to spend the money. So let us know, so that we can be able to motivate that Ekurhuleni actually does not need to spend. That's why you do not spend. You only spend the message when we call you here, or when somebody raises an alarm, and then you start to run around and spend the message. Generally, you don't need. That's the definition that we have. You don't need that money. You only remember if you have somebody saying, you know that it was money that I was spending. You say, oh my God, that was money. And then you spend. So that's why to us, you don't need it. Because there are other metros and cities and areas of government that need it. So you can't every time be reminded to spend the money for you to spend. You were here in the last 5 years, and you spoke about this. You were in the same position, and then you spend the money that you have. So the child will remind us that we have not had your paper, and the child remembers that she asked. And our children, if nobody reminds that child is doing it. That means you actually do not do it. Tell us that you do it. Because the impression that we have sitting from this side, you actually do not need it. That's why you don't spend it. If you need it, you will spend it on time and come back and say, need more money because of the challenges that you see that you are getting. You can't even motivate that you must need, you must get more money because even the one that you have, you're not spending. You only spend fully when somebody says the money needs to be spent. So maybe explain that to us. Because now this is the second year money that you only spend the money when you have. So if you can, as you respond to the question, talk to that. So that when we then plan for the next 10, we can then motivate that if everyone actually treasure, they don't need to be managed. They accept that. We are begging them by giving them to manage. Thank you very much.
Respond to the question about the business program. Does this affect our to the show? With regard to the business program, I think there should have been a slide of the challenges. I don't know what happened to our team, but we have highlighted that. We believe that our challenges should be known by the political community, because if we explain our challenges, that is when we are going to get assistance from the members of the political community. With regard to the business forum, sometimes we are the victims of the good things that we are doing as government. We introduced a framework deriving it from the PPF, Preferential Procurement Framework, that for all the tenders, that projects that are worth more than 10 million, 30% of that should be allocated as a community participation pool. And with that, some criminals came to hijack that process. And when there's a project, construction project happening anywhere within the city, they will go there and demand the 30%. They say the city has got a policy of 30%, but in doing so, they don't actually want work opportunities or construction or business opportunities. All they want is money. They will extort money from business people who are doing construction work there, and then they run away. And this has been a phenomenon that has been happening in our city. These people are violent. They go there on site with guns, and most of them have got a track record of being criminals. Some of them are coming from prison. So it's been a trend in our city. And even if you engage the SAPS, they can't keep up with the speed at which this thing is happening in our area. In some instances, we will build houses like human settlements for poor people, real poor people, and only to find that in areas like Umlaag, those houses are hijacked by this business forum. They will go there saying that we need houses. And if you allocated the correct beneficiaries to those houses, they will go there and shoot them at night. And then people will come back and say, no, we are scared of yes, they are already registered to the human settlement database. So it's another process again, because as government, we have to follow a legal process in terms of evicting those people. So it takes time, almost 2 years, for us to be able as government to evict those people who have actually hijacked the houses of the people. So those are some of the challenges. It's violent hijacking done by criminals within the city who hide behind the banner of business forum who are demanding radical economic transformation. So I'm saying that this is a challenge that we are facing every day, and the attitude that we have taken as the city is that we need to respond with law enforcement agencies, but sometimes we find that they are not adequate. They can't keep up with the pace of this. In some instances, we are forced to negotiate with these individuals and try and see if they can be engaged in a way that they will understand that our vision is for radical economic transformation, but for all people, not only a particular sector of society. So that's one area that I wanted to respond on. The second one is around land invasion. I'm happy that the honorable member is ready with that, because it's one of the challenges that we are facing in Etegwini. In Etegwini, you've got people who are called sheklots. These sheklots, they will invade land, and then they will build sheks so that they will rent out those sheks. For them, it's business. They make up to 30,000 a month for renting this sheks out. And when you come there, when they rent this sheik there, you come there, you have a plan as a municipality that you are going to build an RDP housing there. They will block the way of services, they will block the way of roads, and as you intervene as the municipality, you say you want to relocate them, then violence will erupt. Because they are so violent that they are losing income by you as the municipality removing them out of the way for development. So I'm saying, those are the challenges that we are facing as the city. Right now we have set up a task team that is made up of the MEC, Human Settlement, myself, the CET, and the MEC for Community Safety and Liability, where we are, besides using law enforcement agencies, but we are also engaging those communities so that communities will understand that if these shack laws take over in their areas, then they can't be blaming the city for not delivering houses, because all that the shacklots do, they block the development of houses by making profit out of renting out these shacks. So that is a problem. And with a narrative that is there in the country that expropriation of land without compensation, some of the parties, they use that to influence people to go anywhere in the city as if the city is a lawless city. They will take people, go there and invade that land, and it takes time for the city to actually deal with those individuals who are actually mobilizing people to invade land under the banner again of expropriation of land without compensation. So those are the challenges we've been facing, and it's becoming right as this discussion is taking place in Parliament. So for me, I think those are the challenges that we need to highlight and to respond to Chairperson briefly on those areas.
Thank you very much.
With regards to payment of suppliers within 30 days, I can basically say we pay more than 80% of our suppliers within 30 days. Of the minor ones, normally when we discover that the payments are not in order for payment, then we then hold the process to substitute those two things. But a significant portion of our suppliers, because it's one of the KPIs that we track on a monthly basis to make sure that we pay within 30 days, and the suppliers also where we have maybe the area arrangement with them because of their personal issues. With regard to what is new, what is EPA that you're going to do to move from the 41% to 100%, we obviously seen that there's a business unusual sort of mode that we have to go into. So we scaled up our top 200 meetings. We're now having them on a bi-weekly basis just to check those projects that are above 10 million to make sure everything is moving smoothly on the ground. And if there's any interdependencies, then obviously the MCC one meeting and solve those problems. We've changed the schedule of our big committees. They now, the city manager has instructed that they sit on a weekly basis so that we can then move things through the mapping with the schedule date of their committees. We also have prepared a readiness matrix. This is an example of one of the projects. For all the projects that are above 5 million, we have a zooming in sort of document and then say where are we at any given point in time to just say what do we need to unlock as the project is on site and are there any issues on the ground. So with these reasons, this is one of the things also that we start the agenda at the top 200 meeting is what assists us to see and have more clear information about the actual cases of the project. We do need the grant. The challenges that are showing that affect us in the USDG grant, they're not only unique to the USDG, they affect all the critical projects within the city. I think we are operating in an environment in the city that is constantly changing on the ground. And if we do not become agile as a city and make sure that open above the technical skills that we have, we need more change sort of skills, and we've identified that project and program management are critical skills. Social and social integration and stakeholder management skills are also critical to those skills. And obviously, we don't want project managers that have only the skill of implementing projects, but we want them to be able to plan the whole project management process. So as and when we're seeing the impact that these things have on the ground, then we're becoming more agile and we are changing and making sure that we actually, because the figures are the indicators they show us whether our processes are in order and say that inflation responds to the context in which we operate. So we continuously change it.
Thank you. Yes, Mr. Abbasi.
As chair, I'm going to ignore my colleagues next to me. I'm going to respond to and my colleagues Phil will respond, and I'm sure Mr. Pinnega will just narrate and put it into the proper context. There was a question around the faculty. I think it is known by this portfolio committee, I'm 100% sure, although you never came to this committee and reported on faculty, but it's part of the provincial report. We've got just under 70,000 faculty in the city in terms of the backlog itself. And this backlog is split into the pre-1994, which is the inherent challenges that we took over, and also the post-1994, which means the challenges that we created. So there is an intervention that we're currently dealing with. There is a capacity that we received from National, which we have appreciated, which is a focus capacity in unlocking some of the processes that block the conclusion of the faculty. But also provincial and national government have also made aside funding to fund those processes from happening because they are not funded by the city. So we are looking at traction of those processes, but within the city ourselves, we've got a faculty steering committee, which includes all departments, not only the human development department, because they probably 40% of the faculty backlog, which is against the basic certificate, and that sits within our engineering infrastructure unit, for them to unlock and certify some of the infrastructure that was not properly certified. So we're dealing with those issues so that we can close the loop and the gap that exists in the program and deliver. So what we are portraying here as a type of this outcome, it's really not making a dent in terms of what we have as a backlog. We are continuously dealing with the new faculty registration, so we are reporting on that as we move forward. But while we say that, we are currently working on a program as part of the intervention that's currently happening in the city, which we presented to the mayor of the beginning. We've got 7,321 faculty at hand, which we are programizing for issuing to people that require them now. So we do receive faculties quite often from the faculties, the registry of the conventional office, and we lock them up and then we issue them to people as and when they avail themselves. But we are establishing a program where we're going to go out drastically and issue those faculties, because what we are establishing is that people don't come back for their faculties. Unless you go there and market and you emphasize for them to come out, and they will have to verify at some point, because these houses that we are building change hands quite frequently. By the time you go to house number X, it's no longer that person, it's somebody else, and you can't receive the faculty. So we deal with that process. I think what we were trying to explain, maybe I must apologize for including this slide that we're not part of the report that honorable members are putting. Yes, we brought some of the emphasis later last night and also this morning, which we went through our presentation, we spoke to our first quite and we included them, and those were not included in the report and in your on the case of scenario. I must apologize for that. And the 37th assessment that I was making reference to is not a settlement formation that are currently receiving the incremental payments as corporate. But in the city itself, it's 226,000 informal settlements, families residing within informal settlements. So that is our backlog in terms of informal settlements. If I add all other backlogs, we're talking to a figure of about 337,000 to around about that, which is the rural and the backyard, etc.
How many informal settlements?
We've got 553 informal settlement formations in a city, which has 226,000 families residing within the city. I think the chair has covered the legal application quite well. Just to add maybe on that, we are also struggling with the justice system around the issue when we deal with those issues in court. I'm talking
before the fair will come some of the achievements that we put together around the fair of with Malche, which the fair and just the issues around the PAC Act are not in our favor. We're losing cases, defending methods of engaging in court, and we are losing them. We also are getting drawings to methods that are targeting nations. There are two methods that we recently dealt with, which is a land called the Mahogany Ridge, which was a targeting national land that was invaded without asking them. But when the matter was granted to the invaders, we were guided as the city to give alternative accommodation in the beginning. And this is some of the reason why we eradicated about 2,100 camps and we went up to 10,000. Simply because the court moved and said, you've got those train houses, close them and put them up in the unit. So we needed to go and respond. So we defended the matter, but we lost again and again. Again, we've got another matter that we've been doing, which is in parallel. It's a privately owned old hotel in Chinatown, where people have invaded without the owner taking care of it. And then the owner takes people in court, and we have joined as a city to say, you need to give people housing. Therefore, the owner can get rid of those people, but you give them alternative accommodation. So we're losing a battle a bit, and a high act comes into the center of all our battle most of the time. I think there was a question around people refusing to relocate. Yes, we do have the challenge. I think as the chair has mentioned that, as much as we're thinking that people are going to celebrate what we're giving to them and granting to them as they arrive, but many a time people refuse to relocate from the former settlement to the houses. Sometimes it's by way of removing them from their livelihood, which we understand. That's why the USDG then targets the total development rather than developing a house and an infrastructure only. But we do have those cases where we are delayed because people don't want to move in the way of services, etc. I think we also covered the readiness metrics. The supplier performance, we are very much aware from our side that if either suppliers have got too much on their plate or the project management has gone poorer and poorer, I think my colleague covered it, that we find that our suppliers are not performing to what they are paid to be. Because if we take HGB or PE in terms of the fair PE grading, there is an expectation that there is another supplier. We don't get the ultimate outcome. So what we have as a city, there is a supplier monitoring process that our supply chain management runs across the spectrum of the performing contract, and the monitoring that comes from the project management over time. So there's a monthly report that we produce to offer our audit committee and our anti-committee to see how contractors and projects are performing. And those contractors that are not performing are subjected to penalties appropriately, and if the performance is still poor, haven't done all the intervention, then we justify all the blame for the sector. I think the statistic changes are apologized for that part of it, that we haven't changed the set specifically, but we have just added a new slide that will not at the number before. The ambitions of land, in the manner in which we perform for the first two courses, what we've done, we've gone and looked at all the land parcels that already have been approved by council. We created a readiness measure with all the land where we've taken them to council and sought authority for council to approve us by list of land. And it came to about 400 hectares if we look at all those land. We then put a readiness metric across those pieces of land in terms of the feasibility and screening, where we've done the feasibility, where evaluations were in progress, and where the negotiations were advancing. So our level of confidence comes from the point of knowing that we either halfway through discussions with the landowner and it's a friendly sale agreement, or we are either halfway with the appropriation processes. So we've only selected pieces of land where we are confident that we will train. And we came up with a figure of 229 additional vessels that we can acquire before the end of the financial year as a result of that process. I did mention that a city is a very unique city. It's a city where we explain its unique in a sense that it's close to 60% rural in its context and it's 40% urban. I think when political leaders make a case that we need USDG on the ground because we realize in revenue only to a portion of our residents. Predominantly the city, import indigenous communities, so which rely on the grant itself. So we focus very much strongly on the rural program. Just as a part of the presentation, we did not include our rural program, because the UNDP is an added settlement branch. But we've got a variety of programs that are balanced when we look at the BEP itself, but we take cognizance that we control 60% of the tribal authority lands, which is another dimension to the complexities of the city. But we've got relevant problems that we are, maybe we can bring in the report to the official. The better dwellers is predominantly existing the pre-1994 stock, which is we respond to it in a program called rectification, where we're rectifying former township programs or houses. And also there's a program that my colleague Philip and I are invoking in the township, which is to separate meters and eventually separate financials, because we appreciate that the families in the township don't necessarily go out. They go behind the house. And we want to make sure that they go their own access to services, so that the families do not have conflict because of who pays for electricity at the same time, eventually separate the financial and have a form of title B, not only to an old house, but also to an extended house. That is a problem that we're involving. But generally, part of the replication program, which is moving slowly as we understand that it's got financial constraints, but we respond to the data dwellers in that program. And when we deal with the replication of the old structure, we also take account to the status of the shed itself. And what we are intervening currently is looking at ensuring that that site has got individual cases. And it is accounting for services and also receiving cases. And also there's a program of sanitation. We're dealing with sanitation that is outside the houses and trying to incorporate it within the structure. Yes, we are receiving assistance from HPA. I think we started this having discussion at the time when we were doing this mega project. And fortunately for us, the same building hosts HDA and it also hosts human settlement. So there's a close relation between HDA. And the current intervention that we are waiting at, HDA is leading the consolidation and the facilitation and the also secretariat. And also the faculty, we've got HDA province that set aside HDA to drive the program as well, jointly with the faculty that we've been information. But we've been open in working with HDA. I am sure that we can articulate our presentation far better, so that it's clear the role and responsibilities are very clear in that regard. But we've always been welcoming HDA in that regard. I'm going to allow my colleague, Anna, to see which. I think that must before you allow it. Are you confirming what colleague has been doing? I'm comparing, I think the system is in our accounting office, I'm comparing. But there is a question you asked, which is a correlation of the informal settlement and the renovation. I think my confident family, many of us say that, have put it very well. That there is a very close relation between the informal settlement and the renovation. You understand that over 50% of the organization in the world in the city, we are very much affected by that. Heaven is a woman's place. So for people to revive in it, it happened much radically. But when we monitor the invasion of spaces, just as the information system, we must always pay attention to what are the things that are illegal in that context. But at the same time, we must drive our information system and training program, in which we have to believe that we implement our services program in responding. I think Jay, I'm going to allow Phil to respond to the approval of the question and then this is probably the end of it.
That's Mr. Emma. Talk to this one.
Thank you very much. I'm just going to answer the question around the issue of the tenders. We have experienced some appeals, and the main reason is that if you look at like what my chair was indicating, the Black Business Forum, their modus operandi is in various forms. The first one is bring value for the park to stop the project. The other one is just to be a nuisance, appeal the tenders, and make sure that you delay the project. And the other one is just a, you know, they can come into administrative processes, and just the fact, I think there was something on the news about tenders that have been placed, tender boxes placed. So we there are various ways of dealing with it. Those are some of the challenges. But what you must also acknowledge is that the introduction of the CBE regulation yes, gave us a bit of difficulty. We must acknowledge in interpretation and then understanding. Remember, at the beginning we were already running with a 30% CBG before the CBE came in. So we had it in, but when we had our tenders that were in the process, I think we had one of my tenders that was affected was about 100 million. It was already in the process. It had 30% CBG. But when they looked at it, they said, no, it's not talking about the 51% as articulated in the regulations. It's not talking about 10% MK as articulated in the regulations. He said, okay, but 10% is there. So we had to retender all those tenders of that nature. And that delayed the process. So the interpretation of the regulations also affected us. I must say that there is also intense rivalry with the dominant players in the market. For some reason, you find that the people who have been getting tenders on a regular basis, and then for the high market share, they sort of create an oligopolistic structure where they just refuse to play within that market. If you bring in the black businesses, the small business, to bring them in, is resistance, and that part of resistance goes through appeals, and it's something that we have to manage. It is a resistance of economic empowerment of the small businesses. So, those are some of the issues that we get to share. And I must say that we are getting towards it, getting understanding, even our systems are incentive to try to improve into that. But let me just also add one thing around the issue of sessions. Yes, we experience sessions. And let me say, the reality of it is that if we try to empower our people, there's an element of training, there's experience effect. So now and again, you find that we have to come up with training programs and attach them to the big businesses and say, we want you to train these people as a condition of the tenant, so you can come up with this. Thank you very much.
Who's going to answer? You're carrying tension. They've had a problem with you. So this is, we are not only talking to you on this. So if we can allow the city manager and then the project is going to come back. We are not going to be the one. Between the two of you, the whole project and yourself, you are left now with 10 years.
No, that's enough. The issue of the crematorium, we had an inquiry, maybe a session where the committee, I think it's called the CRL, came to us. And in fact, it was addressing the real estate issue. It was just not the crematorium, but also the issue of the grave site. We are looking at and fixing the crematorium that are broken. In fact, I know the one that is in, what's the name, but it's going to go to Chatsworth. That one is actually being maintained. And there are other two that are actually being fixed at the moment. And there's an issue of the land. We are working with the manager of the real estate, trying to acquire more land, just focusing on the grave site. Chair, there is another thing that we needed to talk about, maybe which is going to be answered by Mr. We have started, we've got an office now for the MKMVA, not just the MKMVA, but the military veteran, which is addressing the issues, all the issues that are concerning them. I mean, be it housing, be it issues of working, with us. So there are many issues, and it's run and funded by the municipality. So as a chair, we are taking care of those. Chair, and there are issues of productivity. We have employed now the COO, who is actually going to be looking at the issues of productivity, efficiency, and also the movement of the project itself. And also the challenges just on the SCM, because we must say there were challenges and we are looking at them and slowly, slowly they are coming down. And I think let me stop there, Chair, but just as the last one, we do need the USD.
Without waiting time, one would just say, you know, if ever, you know, always ready, if we were told that we had more time, we're going to put up all of our achievements on Friday, so the members can really, but we know that it does not for us, for this one, but definitely we welcome any invite in that time. Just to indicate that in terms of the inside veteran, as a province, we even secured $100 million for these initiatives, which the inside veteran indicated to us that there was nothing, in the slogan, nothing about us without us. As a result, we have seen a great engagement of our units from Colombia, Kingsbara, our special housing to do the outreach. So we're always in the way, but really we cannot do it by ourselves. Because you can see instruments on the ranking, the our programs, the our pipeline, all of those issues. But we have got to say now we finally social issues that are issues of health, approval, it has always been away from us. But what we're still to do was still to give those members that were not appearing from the EMB database to give them a formal public space in the house in our project. So that part is related. That's why we do not have coming to go to EMB or this other stuff. So by the time EMB comes, it means this will just be heading on to an institution. That's how we should really work it out. But currently, we can do this in Kenwood. There are all very first units that have already been done. You can see what it is. Those approvals are really beyond our control and then in the second project. Those issues come from that from those offices and those are research with that kind of instrument of the AMP. So I wanted to just indicate that's why now in multiple numbers similarly we accommodate some of those members, such as the items from former our former housing community for this community. So it's why they are putting call themselves the AMP members who are there. But whether they call the necessary funds is another issue. But for us, we thank our members. As I said, we still refer, someone still refers there, and even the members themselves, they are aware that the problem is not that much. For those that are able to access through for additional funds through banks and the normative system, even to go through the project. So, yeah, it's not as if we're really shutting. The mind is there, it's harder, and everyone knows there is a statement from our side. The issue of what is a slide there on page 10, if members can share. If you check that there's an instrument under 4.2, I know it's very for us to some glasses. 4.2 is that works up to the human and right. And after adjustment it can change 1.3 million that has gone to that software. So I know this doesn't like me when it's the and they don't like it, so the demand for it for informal treatment is doing very fast now, 150% of our allocation. So, but as you can see, for this kind of financial aid, we have spent close to about 1.6 million that we have spent on one housing program. So definitely, we still try for almost to squeeze. If you look at the current documents for 5 years, we're just giving a report to our...
Don't worry, we're not here.
Yeah, we speak about 3,000. Yeah, we speak 3,000 units for this one. So, the issues of we have now shared, just we have to deal with the backyard and everyone.
I actually wanted to deal with the deficiencies before the time change. I wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, we're producing some new instruments that are ready for the organization strategy. of 35, he was 35 of land with his problems at home. That's why you see him in the sites now coming in that trend of having to in big numbers. That's what we're saying. We need budget assets like 17. And the lesser unit, the more the same size focus, because that's where we've also not been helping to run the market before. So it's been quite looking at that number, it will really be going up. But if you go to areas with inside schools, like what we use, rainbow, and you have them, that's where all of those issues are happening now. To say, where we're buying land, it's from land, and we need these things. Those that are anything between 3.5 to 22,000 rand, to really be part of that process. And that's what now, media believe that's going out just now to say that that's in the process. There's going to be a launch, in fact, to the soon of that program, because we've already rolled out into one of the terminals that we've highlighted in part of the capacity program there. So I'm just indicating that when we get the invite around that area, because you know that we've got a construction problem there, and do it as. But let's say the main issue of non-performance, the non-subsidy market, that's the one that we are aggressive on. So if they are correct, the zero is always under the interest reference and the fleet article. And that's why now we hope we will intervention of increasing the money to that 22,000 and ask that we need the instruments of 25. So those who spend money, pay to get a bond, they are able to get a safe debt and be able to get covered. Then they can feed on their own. So those are the issues. In terms of time, this, when I would have to indicate that as one sitting here for the 5 years under 10 feet, we produced about 21,000 10 feet. 50,000 were just into our members of cabinet provision where we are trying to get a program from them to say, look, our members of council are deployed in various issues. So they'll be going around there now to try to assist us to really issue out the checklist. But what we've done first, you saw the president was there. That was one of the issues that he had to head over. We started from there, with the verifications. And what is interesting, some of those areas, you find that a lot of boundaries, you find that somewhere in the former eastern gate area, going and Matatias, but now they're in Okta. So now we operate in those areas in that kind of way. So the exercise is going to be, we need to go to each and every house to find where the person is there, and then indicate to them that your technique is there, can you come in this age, you really come with these following papers, and be ready to take the technique. So that's what we're doing currently. We go to people administrating this technique, and sometimes we don't believe anyone about that. So that's why now the problem is taking up on our test to really go to the door and call people in and really verify the room door and take those papers for disputes on the other side and then work it out with issues maintaining for those kind of issues. But all of these issues, we normally go even to our members of cabinet on a whole day and we do a possible human treatment, but we cannot really deal with it 5 minutes like we are doing here. That's why I'm going to change this voice. We have got to put these things up there with the data and really be able to take members in confidence. So this is really data, this is really value. And those are the issues that always like to do. So when we are now looking at these questions, I am people cannot believe.
I know whether you, if you are thinking, you don't know. That is so people to say, oh, they're wrong. And thank you very much. To SAP and Bazumata. We hope that you will go back and double your efforts in working. By the time you come back to our council, this parliament, it will be in the new term. So we really appreciate your working together. You always make sure that there is something going on. You know SAPS, I know it's referred to the one is down. Our one is still very up. We would love to make better technology, particularly in the digital government. Thank you so much. We are going to allow you can sit if you want and listen if you can learn better practices. You may never know. You also learn from the input, you know.
But otherwise, we are going to allow the critic and Malawun to present, as we have been stressing to SAB. Our interest is in Malawun, but we are going to allow him to present that. We want the bulk of the time to be given to
orientation,
because they are the ones that can not end on the agenda.
No, it's not fair.
Whilst you also have challenges, but we want to keep the lion's share. So please run through your presentation, every one of them, and give enough time to the next
one.
I'm giving you this time. Please keep quiet. That's what the table is. Okay. Can we then allow the HOC, you will introduce the team from the show and do the presentation. Can you keep quiet, Kolikwa, and do the thing quietly?
Thank you, Chair. Morning, Honorable Members. Morning, Chairperson. It's only the two of us, myself and the ATC Director, TNU. And our presentation is actually very short. We are responding to a question that we were asked just to reconcile our expenditure. I think the concern for my committee was that you see your because we can't actually reconcile it properly with the performance. So basically what the presentation is going to address. And without it, we'll see much of the time going to give over to the TNU head just to go through the presentation and subsequently thereafter we can answer.
In terms of the actual project,
I'll just go through the summary slide to indicate that in terms of foundations and walls that we have on the ground, that this has not been reported as complete project, which is complete unit that we can do into put into our account. We've got 118 million that depends on that. And also we've got project design, where we've got project design part that have been made. It means we've expended money on this, but we haven't yet converted it into price. There's 40 million worth of money that's been
that's one to measure. Your only measure is that. from that one you to present and give our challenges and tell us what you want to do. I think you heard how to do it. We give you enough time because we actually want to do it.
Thank you and good morning, Chair, honourable members. Chair, maybe we'll start by introducing the team that is here. Next to me on my left is HOD Advocate Peter Paradis, the HOD for Human Settlement. And then the far right is HOD Engineering Services, HOD Mbondondos in Doku. Next to him is our team CFO. And then the other two members are from Human Settlement Department, Mr. Alim Lalekwa, and then Mr. Janiano Marketa. My name is Chair Tanti Somnea, I'm the city manager, and thanks for the opportunity, Chair. Maybe what?
Did you
just
read
the name to us?
What did you
say? I said she's advocate to Peter Palari, the HOD for Human Settlement Department in the city. Okay.
We wanted to make sure that the names to you give us the proper opportunity.
Yeah.
Continue.
Okay, thanks, Chair. Mr. Mulegaka will be doing the presentation on our behalf, Chair. And I think the presentation will cover the instruction and the communication to the city. But maybe to start, Chair, by acknowledging the support and the cooperation that we're getting from the National Human Settlement as well as National Treasury in the office in terms of collaboration and working together and the progress on the program. Chair, in the presentation, what the city is going to demonstrate is that we've learned from our weaknesses and mistakes, and as a result, there were drastic reforms that were introduced to handle or to improve on performance, and we also set up structures in place to ensure that moving forward the situation is turned around and there is much improvement in terms of us delivering on our mandate sharing. But also we have also looked at how we have been planning and to ensure that the planning processes are reviewed with intention to ensure that we improve. The presentation will also demonstrate the issues around how we require the time to catch up with the time that has been lost, Chair. Earlier on, DG Chair touched on the issue of environment and the implications thereof. So we've taken stock of where we are, highlighted the issues and the challenges, but have put in place mechanisms and plans in place and systems to ensure that come the end of the financial year, the future is different. And I'll hand over to Mr. Mulegaka to
No, thank you, Chair, and honourable members. The overview of our presentation, Chair, will deal with the settled budget breakdown, the ESDG allocation facilities, the ESDG project implementation features, the second quarter performance, the challenges, the recovery plan, as well as the ESDG adjusted financial performance. In terms of the financing sources, the capital budget of the city is made up of our revenue, which is about 7%, our own funds, 5%, and the National Electrification Program, about 15 million, which represents 1%. The Neighborhood Development Partnership Fund, 13 million, which represents 1%. The Public Transport Infrastructure Assistance Fund, 25 million. Which is about 15% of our capital budget. Then the USDG grant, which is then 742, in total is about 756 million, which represents about 67% of the budget. And then the integrated city development grant, which is about 7.2, then representing 1%. The public contributions is about 10.3 million, which represents 1%, and then the external loan, which is the fleet lease, which is about 33.1 million, which then represents 3%. So basically, I think graphically you can see that the USDG is the main source of our funding of our capital budget, and followed by public transport. In terms of the allocation, in a solid business plan, as was submitted, we had the minimum settlement having about 20 projects and with an adjusted budget of about 228 million, which represents 30% of the allocation. And then we had sanitation, 24%. They had about 18 projects. Roads and Stormwater had 32 projects and 148.7 million, which represents 20%. Then we had water with 15 projects, adjusted budget 100 million, and which represents 13%. And then we had planning with 17 projects for 38.3 million and representing 5% of the budget. And social services had 4 projects for 27 million, representing 4%. Waste and fleet management, 9 projects, and which is 17.3, which represents 2% of the budget. And then the 3% USDG of SCEP, we have 5 projects with a budget of 13.3 million, and which represents 2%. And this is as well graphically the representation, and obviously human settlement takes the major share of our budget, followed by sanitation, as well as roads and stormwater and water, and then come training and other directions. In as far as the USDG implementation status chapter, as we submitted, and I think I'm representing the last and original plan, which we submitted to the department for that total of 7.6216 million. And I think as we go into the challenges the city experienced, with the declining of the rollover application, we had to sit down and then revise our business plan, because the issue was that we needed to avoid a situation where we remain with projects that are incomplete and which were not in the current business plan. So we had to bring them in, and as a result, we had to revise the business plan. And in revising the business plan, mostly human settlement, we increased the number of projects that were added, but the budget still remained the same, about 228.7 million. And then sanitation, the number of projects remained, but then we had to increase the budget because of some of the projects that were coming from the last financial year, which were incomplete sanitation projects, which we had to make sure that they are captured in. Roads and stormwater, we also had to increase the budget to about 148 million. And I think in the exercise we did, we had to tap into the water budget. And it is because the reason why we had to tap into the water budget is because we were then saying some of the projects that were in the business plan could as well be funded from the child fund that we're going to receive at the city. So as a result, we then had to say, I think this is where we can then top the budget. The social services, they had projects which were coming from the last financial year. They were not there, and then we had to find money, which is better than 7 million, had to be found to be able to fund the 4 projects that were coming from the last financial year. And then waste and fleet, we had to reduce the budget, and our SCEP remained the same. So this was the exercise which we had to do, Chair, because of the decline of the rollover. So which I think now what we can report, Chair, is that currently, in terms of all of the projects, when we go to human settlement, we had a number of 20 projects, and 11 of those projects have already started, and funds have been committed to that value of 166 million. And with 9 of these projects not ready, we're only waiting for the appointment of the contractor, so which then I think we will also deal with that issue as we deal with the challenges check. Then there is about 9 projects to the value of 62 million which have not been committed now. Sanitation, we had 18 projects, 9 of those have started and with commitment to the value of 165 million and 9 of them haven't started to the value of 16.9 million. Road and stormwater, we had about 32 projects, 14 of those have already started and with commitment, sorry, to the value of 119 million and 18 of them haven't started to the value of 30 million, 29.5 million. Water has 15 projects, 9 started with commitment and to the value of 96 million and 6 of those have been started to the value of 4 million. Planning at 17, 8 of those projects have started with commitment and 9 haven't started to the value of 12.2 and as well as the social services, we had 4 projects, 1 started to the value of 24 million and 3 projects to the value of 3 million haven't started. Waste and fleet, 3 projects have started for 6.3 and 6 projects to the value of 11 million not started. And the USDG of SCEP, we had 5 projects, 1 started to the value of 2.5 and then 4 of those haven't started to the value of 10.8. So clearly, Chair, what we are trying to demonstrate to the committee is that about 606 of the 756 have been committed this far and only about 149.7 million of this money has not yet been committed, and which I think as we move with our presentation we will then indicate some of the challenges and how we intend to commit those funds. So basically this is just a representation, the percentage of those projects that have started and projects which haven't started, which is a policy of a mixed bag. And we have others where human settlement 55%, sanitation 50% of the project, and then water 60%, and then they have made others we still below 50% with the commitment thereof. Now, Chen, with the USDG financial performance, the figures that I'm going to represent, this was at the end of January. With all of those direct trades that has been allocated funding from USDG and with the adjusted year-to-date movement was that it's about 230.6 million, which represents 30% of the total allocation and with a balance of about 525 million still outstanding. So. And which I think this is where everybody has shown serious concern that the expenditure is too low. Basically, here we're trying to show how we had targeted the budget targets beginning of the year until the end of the financial year. And obviously, we're saying, Chair, the target for January was that Malawi should have spent about 441 million of this money, but the actual expenditure at the end of January was 230, which represents 31% against the target of 58.3%. So this is just the expenditure at the end of January, but then taking into account the actions, the decisions that the executive management team has taken, we will just demonstrate how this then will be dealt with. So basically, Chair, this is just a classical representation of the slides that I just dealt with. Chair, in dealing with the challenges, and I think the reasons why the expenditure is still at low, one, we considered when the National Department of Human Settlement then said, Malawi, you are poorly planning your project because we accept change that in the 2018-19 business plan, there were projects which were not ready for implementation, which were included in the business plan. And somewhere we also had some projects which, when you engage with directors, they want to plan design and implementation in one financial year, and which obviously, if they're delayed in design, you can't even begin with the project. And the other one is the non-adherence to our capital procurement plan. And all of these things, Chair, the reason why we said we are serious to the observation of the department is you will find that we tended to rely too much on what the directorate will present to finance and to the city leadership to say we have the following project, but while we haven't looked at the readiness of some of those projects because we relied on their weight. So, which then now when we submitting reports to the national department, you'll find that the directors are now indicating it is a procurement, it is a bid supply, there is also a design. So then the issue is that this was a part of the capital budget which was adopted by the city, and the implication was that the project was ready. So as a result, these are some of the challenges that we have experienced. And I think I've also indicated, Chair, that with the rollover application decline for the 2017-18 financial year, it was also one of the challenges that we also had to mitigate and deal with as the city. And I think the biggest challenge and the risk that the city is managing, Chair, which is that the capital budget of the metro, 67% of it comes from the USDG, Chair, and which then says that we need the USDG to fund the capital budget of the city. And with the current challenges that we have experienced, we need to really change the game. Then there was also an issue, I think, we reported at the time that with the recovery plan that we had to do with the after the decline of the rollover, our vibrant policy could not allow us for the first quarter, the first 3 months of the beginning of the financial year, to do any of the movement or pay any of the outstanding invoices, which then meant that we had 3 months in which everything stopped and we could not do anything except the movement that we had to do as a technical team to ensure that we find the necessary savings to fund some of the projects that were coming from the last financial year, which one of the other issue was that the city is still reporting our expenditure VAT exclusive. The figure of the 230 million is VAT exclusive, and which is also impacting on the performance of the city, because when we pay invoices, we're using our own revenue to input the VAT. We're not taking VAT from the same USDG, which is VAT inclusive as it has been paid to the city. And as a result, you would come the end of the financial year remain with funds that are not spent in the vaults, and which represent VAT, but obviously the AG will declare that as an unspent conditional grant because we did not, our sister financial system did not input the VAT. Also, Chair, I think we as the city, we're not paying contractors on time, which is 30 days as per the MFA, and which I think to some extent leads to the delays on the ground. Now, Chair, in the midst of these challenges that we have indicated here, we then, as the technical team, had to sit down after the executive management team established the team and then looked at what are those things that we need to really do to really improve the performance. And one of the issues in the recovery plan was the establishment of the USDG technical team to really look at the performance and all the issues relating to projects and funding in the city, so that we don't have projects that are not ready to be included in the business plan and adopted as part of the budget of the city. So we needed to do that. Secondly, we had to then say to the executive management team, we've got to implement and prioritize the USDG invoices, and which I think it was one of the things that we had to seriously work on. Secondly, thirdly, Chair, it was that we're working with National Treasury in making sure that the current year's conditional grants are prioritized for any conditional grants not approved from the last financial year, which I think in this case we had to sit down and look at the implementation of projects, those that are at an advanced stage and those that are already running, even if they are funded from our own revenue. We needed to look at them and make sure that how do we then make sure that we scrap some of the other projects, but not necessarily scrapping the whole 2018-19 planned project. But the issue was just to make sure that how do we then complete the incomplete project. And one of the other issues, Chair, that we said the city needs to seriously look into in dealing with the issues of cash flow management challenges moving forward is that we've got to fully implement our credit control and debt collection procedures to recover particularly consumer debt, the one owed by government, business and residents as well. So this is some of the things that we had to recommend, but we immediately said to the executive management team, one of the things that must be implemented immediately by finance was that we need to approve all outstanding payments, because as we report in every month, if we are not approving the invoices which were not paid by the closure of the system, the financial system at the end of the month, but for work that has been done and we have received invoices, but it's just that we haven't paid. So if we are not approving those so that it reflects as outstanding payment, which would have shown us this is where our expenditure would have been, if all the invoices were paid, it's something that we need to do that, because we are reporting every month, we need to research finance must immediately approve all the USDG expenses so that it can then show on our report the full outstanding invoices, which probably by the 10th of every month when we're generating the report were not yet paid, but we're supposed to pay them. Secondly, Chair, we said immediately finance must then ensure that we report all our conditional grants VAT inclusive, because by reporting these figures VAT inclusive, then obviously the expenditure in as far as this is concerned, it will obviously show a different picture to what was there January. And thirdly, we said we must immediately, with the adjustment budget, replace some of the non-performing projects with performing projects, and which these three measures are measures that were immediately implemented by the city to alter really the picture without even forcing contractors on the ground to accelerate the work that they need to do. So we have to basically look at our capital budget, and from our electrification program, there are some of the projects that our electricity entity has been implementing, and which to date there were significant movements, and in which according to our assessment and probably conforms to the conditions of the grant. We had to look at that. And then secondly, there were two roads projects as well that were funded from internal funding. And we should say, if we bring in some of these projects into, we take them out of our own funding and we fund them from the US region, obviously it will give a different picture. And secondly, this is some of the outstanding claims registered, which then we are saying if we approve some of these expenses, invoices, which was this until the end of February, there's about 44.4 million of the invoices which are supposed to be still to be paid by now. And if you factor that into the financial system, it will then obviously give a different picture. So, Chair, the adjusted figures in this case was that if we take in, for an example, end of January, where we were supposed to have been at 441 million, and with the actual expenditure of 230 million, if you add that, obviously the figure would have been the adjusted figure, obviously it's about 265.2 million. There is a significant improvement. And then, Chair, we also had, for the benefit of the committee, look at the preliminary figures at the 28th of February, where is the actual expenditure, which was at around 259, which is quite exclusive. But if you include that, the figure would then go to about 298 million, and if then we factored in the project which we announced the need to be replaced, the non-performing project, then it will then take our figure to about 362 million. And if we then factor the unpaid invoices, then it will then say by end of February, our expenditure should have been 403, which still there is a variance of about 100 million if you look at our budget target of 504. This is where we are, Chair, and percentage-wise, obviously, in terms of the budget target, we're supposed to be at 67%, and the actual expenditure, if we're not factoring that in, obviously, it would say it's about 34%, and which I think is the worrying factor. And then if you include that, it would then go to about 39%. And with Council adopting the adjustment budget, with adjusting some of those projects, then it will then take our adjusted figure to about 47%. And then if we take into account the unpaid invoices, the approved invoices, then the figure would be around 53%. So basically, Chair, this is the story of Malawi, and I think the remainder of the other slides are basically the representation of what I have just said in a nutshell, and which I think, Chair, in this case, I would like to thank you, Chair, for the opportunity.
Thank you very much. I'd like to the story of did you? Therefore, you are babysitting Malawong, aren't you?
I am.
Can you talk?
Chair, thank you very much. And Chair, while I'm here, I remember that I needed to render my apology for coming a bit late. Chair, yes, I am babysitting Malawong. And I think the one agreement is that we have made with the city and the province, that should there be any challenges that they may be facing or they may face in future, they should not hesitate to contact us, even if we don't get to the minimum government. But all I want to say, Chair, is that while we are looking at the future, we also worry
and I think we as individuals also have to stress to that, that the World Fund has been based on the fact that we had lost 238 million last year, and I think they still indicate. And from the projections that they're sitting with, we may find ourselves having to face the same challenge again in this financial year. We've never had a problem before with the city, and while we had those unspent funds by the end of the financial year, at least we'll be in a position to take defense and improve on the commitment that we had, and even allow the provincial treasurer to participate in the process, which is run by national treasurer. But the idea is to say those commitments will be taken to national treasurer and give comfort to national treasurer that they will overcome that. But from the previous year's challenge and what we are seeing now, there's a possibility of us saying this 5% of the current allocation is going to go back to national treasurer. I think you recall even last time when we were here, when we were presenting our annual debt quarter report, we did indicate that the process of the stocking has begun with national treasurer, and it's a process that we do not have control over. And in terms of Section 19 of government, which everybody knows, the living of the national measures have been communicated with by national treasurer that a certain portion of their grant will be taken away, and that process is still unfolding. So we have not been transferred the last chance, so to speak, to them, giving their proof that the national treasurer is still running away. But what I want to indicate is that maybe while we are presenting as Mamawum and as a babysitter, we shouldn't make that an issue. Because if we have used the bed within the spectrum of the expenditure, it can be shown to the country. Whether finance has actually indicated that that is not possible, because it's a transition issue, but money has been expended. So it needs to be shown, it must give us a true reflection of what the expenditure is. And if that's not the case in terms of their project, then a line item, which again is an accounting transaction, it should be shown to say this is the VAT that has been expended against the VAT. Then it's a matter of saying when we go back to the drawing board, how much of the VAT has been expended, but it's part of the expenditure. As to whether the supplier in question or the metro in question will gain VAT as a rebate from that, it's also another issue. But I don't want us to sit here and say, because we do not have VAT here, our expenditure is low. For me, it's a non-issue. So we have to sort this out with Mama Wong. But as we look forward, Chair, there is a possibility that we need to work on even the recovery plan that I've just gone through them now and improve on them, because we've got solutions.
I'm not saying you are only saying recover.
We were waiting for the presentation. I don't know my office of the PD. I only saw the presentation now, but I've just gone it through. But yes, the challenges I agree. But some of the recovery plans will also have some solutions that we can enhance together with what the House of the Council Metro has put on the table. But Chair, yes, I'm quite aware of the challenges, but I also want to support the Metro through some of the mitigating factors. We're talking to individuals that some of the projects there is projects that are there, we will work on them. That's right. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks,
Thank you, Chair. We were here last week, and one of the things that we said, Chair, in the meeting, is that both grants, the SSDG grants and the USDG grants, both grants are coming from the vote 38. And the reason why that point is important is because in some cases, and you can see it in other provinces, the problem can be solved if the province and the metro are working together and make sure that the two grants supplement each other. You would have noticed that in the first presentation of the province, they're talking about installation of services in Hillside, Kenya. And that project is in Mangaum. As to why we're paying from HSDG, only God knows. Because that project, if the two grants were supplementing each other, that project, all the services should be paid from the USDG. And the HSDG can take care of the cost structure. And that will change the picture completely of the performance of of the city. The USDG performance will change if the two do supplementation. We have made this point in SGP that there are projects that are managed by the province, and SGP is willing to support that. We made it in Cape Town. There are projects that are managed by the province, by the city of Cape Town, please, for services, because the true grants, we always say USDG is a pipeline creation grant, if you like. They take care of the bank infrastructure, they take care of land acquisition, they take care of services, long before you take care of the top structures. So it's a settlement grant, so to speak, and there is flexibility in terms of how we use it. But this problem happened because there is no sync between the provincial utilization or the provincial pipeline and the municipal pipeline. So I'm just using one project, which is USIT, which I think should be funded. The infrastructure part should be funded from the USDG, which then is in my party shows. Now we know why the numbers in the first state are so low. This is a question that I've been asking all along. Why are the first state numbers going down? Now, based on this presentation today, I now know why those numbers are low, because you can see that the bulk of HSDG, for instance, I look at the presentation for the first time and I dig it up that the bulk of HSDG is going into services. You have a target, there's a target for the chair. I'm sorry to be saying this because it came to me as a big surprise. I was whispering to the CEO. Yes, I was saying to the CEO. Look at this speech. For instance, there's also rectification. It's not in the business plan, but there is an amount of about 600,000 in the presentation slides. The problem is that it creates problems for me as an accounting officer, as a transferring officer, when we pick up these things later in the day. Because every time you want to spend above the 2% of the bank and link, you have to go and ask the transferring officer. You can't just get up and spend more than 10% of your allocation on link and bulk services. You can't do that. In fact, we have to issue an uncompliant certificate when you do that. And when we issue an uncompliant certificate, the materiality of it is going to be huge, and the AG is going to come after the time. So we're picking up these things, and these are things that could have been resolved administratively. Well, the accounting officer to write to the National DG to see we want to go above our 2%. That's number one. Number two, we haven't put it in a business plan that we're going to spend this amount of rectification. Can you give us a new way to go above that? But when you put it in a public platform like this one, it creates a problem. But having said that, the biggest problem for me is the fact that the metro and the province are not demonstrating any synergy in terms of how you spend the infrastructure part of the budget. Because I said, Malasen, all of these projects that we have that are managed by the province in the city, the services part of it could have been taken care of by the city. Especially when the city realized that they are not spending. If the city was spending and they were looking good, then they would say, well, we are committed, we are overcommitted, so we can't help you. But there's a problem in the city is not spending, and yet the province is using HSDG grant to spend for services, when you could easily use the USDG to spend for those services. And that's one thing that is troubling me here, Chair, which I thought I need to bring it to the attention of the city, because if I don't, I'm really in trouble.
Both the dictionary and CFO, your input actually are not applicable. One, the CFO with his state is sitting back. Man, I won't come here with this to back in the school that they resolve with your. So
So when you say the issue of interaction that you are talking to us now could have been discussed with Mangawu if you are doing the job of it. So I'm not saying some of the things that you are saying to us now are not that to say that because they should have been resolved before we are here. I mean, why is Mangawu the only problem that can't deal with the issue, the only network that can't deal with the issue of interaction when others are not getting that issue? And you have a tail of a property department, national department, maybe it's in Mangawu. So for me, that's not the issue. Also, the issue that DJ tried to absolve himself to say he's realizing now that yes, the HSDG in the province is being used for things that are supposed to be paid by the USDG in the Mangawu Metro, doesn't hold water. Because then, your oversight in both this province and this metro means it's weak somehow. And I thought it's important that way to this issue, and actually then allow members to make comments and questions. But I just wanted to make sure that you must not feel that you are sure. Two of you can say that I'm okay with you. But anyway, members, comments, questions? Let me start with Honorable Norman, come to Honorable Sonyane, come to Honorable Kwaran, come to Honorable Masarati, and Honorable Sabini. That's the okay. In that order.
I think that it's sufficiently covered or will not be criticized by the comments that have just been articulated by both the CFO and the DG. When you look at, that slide that shows you the targets per month, the target actual, where the figures, the 504, 259, 290, 25 and so forth. When you look from September, where it's highlighted, you already see a pattern that we ultimately find ourselves in February. Now, it's just interesting to say the question of the debt. As a narrative, it says there's a decision that has been taken last year, and Mangawu is still extremely bad when it does payment. It is because there's nothing that can be done, or the system that is complicated, or just an unwillingness to do it, or an oversight. Because even if you get all the amounts, the targeted amounts, the percentage of 7%, the actual at 84. If you include the debt, it makes it 39. If you adjust it, it makes it 47. And then unpaid, it makes it 53. With all the adjustments and trying to make up for it, we still around about 14% less than what we are supposed to. So it is worrying. Given the number of projects that have been articulated, the ones that don't have a budget, you can see that there are a lot of projects which could have absorbed the expenditure. But the other part of starting planning cycles, where the project starts late, out of the planning, is totally out of sync. With regards to coming to start the expenditure policy. So my biggest worry is, given the time that we say, all right, Mangawu never ultimately disappoints. Given the time we have, we are still going to have problems, and I would want Mangawu to just be careful.
You say
they
don't ultimately disappoint, what
do you
mean?
They only mentioned about 5%
might. Thank you, Chair. You know, I wish one day we can just come to this committee, and somebody just reports that they've spent 100%. I'm sure that day we can all go out and celebrate. Yes, if we can just have that. But anyway, Chairperson, I just want to ask, I see the recovery plan that you have given to us, and I also understand your challenges that you have also presented. And part of your challenges was that you had a poor planning, right? And then I can see there in your recovery plan you have said that you have a, I don't know if you have started a technical team. I just want to understand that technical team that you have. Is it working? Is it operational? What is happening? How many times are you meeting a month, a week, and all those things? And maybe again, Chair, maybe the in the office of the DG, if it was possible, we can propose, because you honestly cannot monitor them from the distance, from far, the babysitting, as you have called it. Maybe somebody must be stationed there so that they can assist them for this communication to happen between the province and the municipality, and also just to be there full time so that they can assist them, because some of the things, really, like the vet, you have said it should not even be something that was raised here. It's something that should have been taken care of. Maybe the proposal should be that from the office of the DG, somebody must be in that office, and then make sure that those things move quickly. And maybe when they come back, they will have a better report than what we have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you very much. Sir, thank you very much. I'm just going to say that the issue of in the position of the government, let me take a slide and the pictures here. The pictures, Chair.
The picture.
Okay. And since I did the presentation of the provision department, and then we get a picture of the new site, new project. Unless I'm wrong, those are the photos that we are getting taken in the community, and they're so excited to start that sort of project. But my big concern at the moment, until they go, the project is not being completed. Two years down the line. And definitely with one is from the after the when we understand the project, also the ability to see the project, I'm not sure. Because I thought by this time that project and then the problem is the project. Second thing on that, this is just like to talk about the department generate, I mean the department generate the certification thing. I'm sure that it's going to be taken down about the representation, but I should be considered the representation. And last understanding question, I have seen the progress report, the summary report, but then it says consisted of top structures, then it is the man way, flesh way. Then I get one, maybe is that not to be in my area. I'm sure it's not like that. In a Manaun chair, I just wanted to get other things in the government. Can the Manaun just relate to the part of the report? The feedback of the roads and the houses that are in the second by the rain, I think it's the past month. Because it was taken in the media and everywhere. I'm sure they have to need to know about what has happened there. And lastly, this one of the, when you want to make a report check, I always will get more soon. There's zero, that you don't have people who are educated, who are going to apply for the job, see the job in the area in the Shula Park. But when you have the report, there's zero here, I get worried whether I will be able to be the people in the future.
Thank you, Chair.
Chair, I mean, for me the frustrating part about this presentation and what we get from Harun, I don't get a sense of ownership of responsibility in terms of the contribution to where we are here. So it's like, I mean, and I don't want to cast any aspersions on anyone, but the presentation for me is just a box-ticking exercise here. It doesn't speak to the interventions on their part, how they're going to improve this situation, and we now know based on what the DG has said and what was also said regarding the recovery plan, that for me it also exposes the lack of proactive steps on behalf of the municipality in engaging with the department, because for the department to get such a key, to see such a key document here, for me, Chair, just shows that there's a problem here. And that problem goes to the detail of what's contained in it. Because in order for a babysitter, Chair, to use that analogy, to be able to be effective at what they do, they need to know any condition that the child has, so that if it occurs during their time of babysitting, they know what to do in response to that child. And when the parent has allocated a babysitter, and even the parent is surprised, then there's a fundamental problem. But it even goes further, because in this case, the guardian, which is the provincial department also, doesn't seem to have any, that, there doesn't seem to be any, it's like there's no intergovernmental relations at all here. But there was an intervention that was identified that in order to help the metro to get out of this uncomfortable position it is in, it has to work in conjunction with the babysitter that has been allocated in here. But I don't see how that arrangement can translate into outcomes that will lead us out of this situation. Because even at this stage, I can't take comfort in knowing that that recovery plan, for instance, which the department hasn't seen, will actually be will actually work. Because the key thing about this platform, Chair, once a problem has been identified, is to showcase to us the efforts that have been taken in solving that problem, so that we don't run around cycles on the same issue here. So before I get to the municipality, and this will be unfair, Chair, but it must be raised here, I just want to get from the department that do they still need more engagement on that recovery plan? Do they have confidence in the ability of that recovery plan to work and make the difference that it should make? Because it is clear to me that such a key intervention like that, Chair, can't just be thrown loosely here and say these are the interventions that we propose to do, and the department, which plays a key role in guiding in areas where there's been underperformance. If there was no underperformance yet, I'd have no problem whatsoever. I'd say no, they are being proactive, they are anticipating problems, and then they seem to have a handle on what the challenges they face. But for me, it just shows a lack of, you know, being proactive in resolving some of the homemade problems that the municipality faces. And second to that, Chair, the issue of inability to pay contractors within 30 days, you know, and they indicate here that it's delaying progress on the ground. First, I mean, I don't get the sense of what have you done to mitigate this, and why it's actually even happening. It's illegal, it shouldn't happen, but it happened. So now that we know that it's happening, what are your interventions in preventing this going forward? Because all of these things cumulatively impact your ability to meet your targets based on the resources that you have. It's not new science, Chair. It's something that they should be doing, that is in there. And the consequence of that, Chair, is that, you know, there are people's livelihoods in here. who have done work and they haven't been paid, and that has a triple effect on, you know, the ability not only of the municipality but the province to meet its targets and all of them. That thing is all obvious. But for me, I just don't get a sense that living in here, that the municipality will get back and come back whenever they come back here. In this condition, I've got no faith. So I think my input will rest there, Chair. But I just want to get from the department that in terms of just going forward, I mean, what is the protocol of engagement when an intervention has been initiated to a municipality or a province, and we still get, for me, Chair, I mean, it's embarrassing that they would come here and the department isn't in the recovery plan. That is no brainer for me. But when intervention has been initiated and we still encounter these kind of things that happened here, what does the protocol of engagement say going forward? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Manager. And I just want to make sure that the department doesn't in any case feel that the Honourable Manager is because one of the reasons why a mother was appointed to get a liberal child is simply because the child, most of the time, cannot tell you what is wrong. She will cry, she will be restless, she will do everything, but she might not be able to explain what is the child. So the babysitter's job is to make sure that you are able to speak up to the child. That's why they need a babysitter. The reason why a babysitter was appointed, it is because already the mother knew that this child needs assistance. So I just wanted to make sure that as other parallelism took this form, it doesn't in any sense to make the babysitter any department capacity and think that honor the man to tell you, you actually are not in the room. I just wanted that to put in the room.
For the opportunity on this, especially on this, on my own presentation. So I'm just spending a little bit on this presentation. And then I'm looking at challenges. I'm also challenged about challenges. I don't know where I go after. By the way, I'm the deputy. Okay, good. Working on plan, working. Okay, by the way, too. So that thing is not happening for. Instead, it makes you to create a lot of confusion in yourself. As I'm seeing, there are a lot of confusion that I see, especially in Chinese. I'm looking at the court hearing and the reporting. I'm locating this. Where are you looking? Where are you locating this? Because to me, when you're under reporting, it means you are poor. There's poor in there. Also, I look at the high risk towards the funding of the project and low expense. To me, it's low. It means it's poor. In your working environment. I'm also sure, Jay, because this presentation to me is lack of expertise, of expertise somehow, because I don't understand how to find the problem. But at the same time, Muslim creator and Arab poet on the same road. That came from. So this is how I see that they, we need to have a tefillah in the
teaching.
So, Chair, this is what I wanted to say.
Thank you very much, Honorable Gabin. I think, Honorable Member, thank you very much for your comments. But I think without getting into much detail, it is very clear that we are very unhappy about the presentation of our work. We are also not happy about the perceived, well, that's what you are saying, member, non-interaction between the metro and the national department, particularly on them coming to ask the students what they are coming to do. We just want to make sure that at the end of the day, when a metro comes to present here, it is important that the national department understands what is happening there, and also it supports as it stands now from the interaction. We don't feel that the recovery plan was presented to the national department, and therefore the speech in terms of things like that. That's one. But secondly, we also, you know, when you look at the challenges, and the first challenge that we are told is poor planning. Mm. I mean, who is that? First challenge, poor planning. Already, that means the people that are coming to present to us can see who's supposed to be doing the planning. It's them. Mm. But they are coming to say to us, our first challenge is poor planning. So, already you're in a problem here. Like, it means as you come to present to us, you have not done work to make sure that these things you are able to say, this is how we need to do it. And also, as I already said, you are coming to us, you say, we are not paying for that time, you say, pay. Who's supposed to pay? Them. Thirdly, you are coming to us, you say, one of the reasons why you are understanding is because you are not in good intention. Who's supposed to do it? Them. You are not supposed to say, so all the solutions are within themselves. But they are coming to present to us to tell us these are the challenges. And also, we are always being told that they apply for a rollover in the last financial year. And it was flat. And it's very clear with this that they have to have a rollover again. Mm-hmm. It's going to be done. Because which you had applied in the last financial year, what did you do then to mitigate that it doesn't happen the next financial year? Doesn't make sense. Also, you are telling us that your capital cost, your capital fund, 67% comes from US DGO, which you are not spending. 67% of your capital fund comes from USDG. This USDG, we are not saying. It doesn't make sense. Because from a layman's point of view, if you were declaring a rollover in the last financial year, by the time this money comes, you are in trouble, you need money. You are spending this money because you already had problems of money, of people that you have not paid. By the time this time comes, you should be on overspending, not underspending. Because already you had a challenge of a rollover that was not approved, and you had projects that are running, you had people that you need to pay, you are not paying in 30 days, and you are sitting here with underspending. Something is not right. So I want to agree with another member. Something is not right. So we would want to decide to actually engage my family. And we would like that in the next meeting, which is next week, you come with a better recovery plan. We would like them to come there actually. Makaunga coming. And it actually presents a better recovery plan with the department. So when we deal with Northwest next week, we want Makaunga here. That's all you are saying to me. This recovery plan is not speaking to the challenge. So can we agree that, gentlemen, you are coming back next week? And Dr. Kalati, you are bringing your men. Because you see, you are the only woman. So you are bringing your men. You get all of them must come back and they must do this presentation. HOP of the province, because this mentor is in your province, you will have to come back and listen to their presentation so that as you are able to monitor and engage with them, you understand what they have said. We don't have to come, all of you, from the province, but somebody must come from the province. But we want the mentor back here Tuesday, next week, come and present a proper recovery plan so that we can have the comfort that we understand what we need. Can you agree, can you agree, baby sister? Can we agree HOD of the government? Can you agree HOD of the MCT manager? We want you here. And that's all that I'm trying to and in that order, did you want to say something? You want to say you don't understand?
No, Chair, we fully accept the marching orders and the National Accounting Office. I take full responsibility for the presentation. We are ready with the technical member on Wednesday and Thursday. We have 3 days this week, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, to perfect that recovery plan.
Yes.
And I would expect the HOD, the city manager, the CFO to join me at the technical meeting in Isana this week. From here, I'm going straight to Isana. So we check the marching order, Chair, and we account for both the gold and the dice. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DJ. Gentlemen, we will stay next
week. Okay? We've enjoyed
having you here, so
we
have not had
enough
for one
day. The
meeting is
our chance. Thank you very much. Yeah, and that recovery plan that I had detailed.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Paul.